بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we are continuing the series of the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the beginning of the class, actually, I want to send great thanks to three special sisters in California. Actually, in order to know about these three sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, first, I want to remind the attending sisters with me, with one sister whom she was attending with us 3 years ago. Her name is Sister Sonia. Actually, she is a revered sister, and she left Houston to California for the studying of her son Ismail. This is the first sister, and actually, I was in contact with Sister Sonia on and off through the email over these 3 years, and we have some phone calls. Last 22nd of January, that is to say a week ago, I received from her a special email which I want to share it with all of you and with the sisters attending to my class, because in this through this email I am sending this special thanks to these three sisters whom I will talk about, and they are mentioned in the email. So Sister Sonia sent to me on 22nd of January this email. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Mona. How are you? We miss you very much. So Sister Sonia is saying, I told my friend about your classes. She said she knew all. She is Syrian, but she was in Saudi. And now she is in San Diego, because Sonia is living in San Diego. And I think maybe she met that sister in the masjid. Anyways, one day the brother that delivered the meat to that sister, okay, her name, we will know about her name. Her name is Hanan. Later, that sister, whom she is Syrian but living in Saudi Arabia and now in San Diego. One day, the brother that delivered the meat asked if he could bring his wife. She reverted to Islam and don't know and don't see any Muslims to Hanan home, okay, so that she can teach her about Islam. As that brother who delivered the meat and his wife, their home is on a farm which is far away from the society. That sister, the reverse sister, she doesn't know anyone, she didn't meet anyone. So Sister Hanan, the one from Syria who is living now in San Diego, she agreed. So that sister, whom she came from the farm, the reverse sister, she met Sister Hanan in her home, and they talked for a while. That sister, actually we will know that her name is Sister Lisa. She asked Sister Hanan, the Arabic Muslim sister, a lot of questions. Sister Sonia is mentioning that her friend, Sister Hanan, the Muslim Syrian, was surprised. How that sister, the revered one, Sister Liza, she knew so much about Islam while she never met any Muslim and she didn't go to the mosque yet. So the guest, that is the reversed sister from the farm far away in California, she replied that all that she knows is from taking classes online with this most amazing Muslim lady named Sister Mona in Houston, Texas. With her, she learned a lot, and she learned about the practice as well. So my friend mentioned, this is the Syrian one, she mentioned about me, about Sonia, that Sonia took classes with us, that she took classes with us, and that she know me in person. So that Sister Lisa from the farm, the reverted one, she wanted to meet Sister Sonia to know about you. Sister Sonia is telling me to know about you. Same time, my friend said This is the Muslim, Arabic Muslim sister from Syria. She said that your classes, Sister Mona, have to be real good because the guests practice more Islam than the Syrian Arabic speaking one. Anyway, Sister Sonia is telling me, on your next class, you may want to send a small hello to the reverted sister from Sacramento that went with her husband to San Diego and mentioned about you. So my friend make a comment that people that enter Islam practice more than the ones born in Islam. Love, salam, and here is some flowers to you from all of us. I replied to her email asking about the name of that two sisters so that I can send for them the thanks. So she replied that the name of the sister that followed your classes is Lisa from Sacramento, California. The one in San Diego that Lisa visited is Hanan, my friend. So actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty sent for me that email, and that email had a lot of messages to many of us. And actually, I will start by the message to Sister Lisa, the revert sister, whom she's married also to a revert brother, and they are, she is, I think Sonia mentioned that she is 50 to 55 years old, and Allah guided her, subhanallah, to Islam at that time, and she is trying to learn, and she's trying to search on the computer to find a website to learn Islam and to practice Islam more better than the born Muslims. So actually, I am sending the first message to Sister Lisa from Sacramento. Allah knows your intention to learn Islam, and Allah guided you to the knowledge, and this is actually a sign of the love of Allah to you. So keep on learning Islam, and your reward will be the paradise from Allah the Almighty. And regarding me, I am sending to you my respect and my love. You are a dedicated real Muslim. This is the first message. The second message, I am sending a message to Sister Hanan, the one from Syria, whom she is living now in San Diego, who invited the reverted sister to her home to help her to know about Islam. So again, I am doing dua to Allah to reward you for supporting that revert sister, and inshallah Allah will reward you. I am sending my third regard to Sister Sonia, whom she was with us, and actually she has two special characters which are kindness and sincerity in reality. So Allah is sending her to San Diego to come to know other Muslims and to help other Muslims. So may Allah reward you, my three special sisters in California, Sister Lisa from Sacramento, California, and Sister Hanan from San Diego, California, and Sister Sonia from San Diego, California. May Allah reward you all the good in this life and make the paradise your final destination. So long you are trying to help each other, to learn about Islam, to come closer to Allah. So this is my supplication and my thanks to all of you. And it is actually my duty to thank every sister whom she's trying to learn Islam, because this is the duty of every one of us. Actually, this message also is a message to me personally. Okay, this is a message of encouragement from Allah the Almighty to you, to me, that my effort Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is reaching to far away from Houston. It is reaching to a farm in Sacramento where a revert Muslim was looking for anyone to teach her, but Allah guided her to my website so that I will be rewarded from the sister. All praise to Allah. And actually, sister, it is also a message to every born Muslima that she must look for the revert sisters, and she must help them, because this is an example of a revert sister whom she was looking for anyone to help her to teach her Islam. And at the end, she was taught Islam by classes on the online. Again, it is a message to every revert sister to have this sincerity and dedication like Sister Lisa, whom she is living on a farm far away from the society, but because of her dedication, Allah guided her and helped her to know Islam more than the born Arabic-speaking Muslim.
And at the end, this is a message to every Muslima in Houston. There are other sisters to whom they are living far away, and they are trying to listen to the classes online and to follow the classes, and they are very thankful, and they are very happy for these classes. Okay, so Sister Lisa will come on the Day of Judgment to stand against every Muslima in Houston whom she is living very close to the masjid, and she's not coming to the masjid, and she's not interested to learn, and she is not dedicated 1 hour per week for the sake of Allah. Sister Lisa will stand against all these Muslims. Allah will question all the Muslims in Houston. Why Sister Lisa in Sacramento, 50 years old, has to listen on the website searching for classes from Texas? Okay, and you are living in Houston and you are very close to the masjid, and you must come to the masjid and you must learn the knowledge of Islam, but you are lazy and you are not interested. So this is actually a warning, message of warning from Allah to every Muslima regarding her duty towards herself to know about Islam and to know the message of the Quran. And at the end, sister, this email, I consider it a message to the greatest man in history, the one whom we are learning his biography. It is a message to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who sacrificed his life to spread it all over the world. Actually, this message, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a proof that after 1,335 years, your message is reaching Sacramento, California, in the farm. And the brother and the sister Lisa and her husband, they become convert to Islam, in spite of the fact they are living far away. No one is teaching them, but Allah is guiding them to your message, because your message is the correct message. And Allah is proving that up till now, after more than 1,000 years, still Islam is spreading, still the message of Islam is alive. So all praise to Allah, and I am very thankful to Allah the Almighty, and then I am very thankful to these three sisters whom they gave me a message of hope and a message of encouragement, that whatever effort I am trying for the sake of Allah, it is alhamdulillah reaching to those whom they are looking for it, and inshallah we will be all rewarded, and inshallah we will be all in the paradise. I will record this. You can't imagine how I was so thankful to Allah when I had this email. This is the best gift for me. After more than 11 or 12 years, I am calling to Allah in many masjids in the United States. This is the best gift from Allah. That it is not the sisters whom they are attending. It is not the sisters whom they are living in the town. It is those revert. Not even the Arabic speaking, you know, in Saudi or in Syria. It is those whom they are revered and they are living far away looking for anyone to teach them Islam. But alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. Actually, I did sujood to Allah to thank Him when I had this email, and I am doing it again now. And may Allah always support every one of us and send a message of encouragement like this. So inshallah, sister, we will continue the third class of the series of the greatest man in history, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, today the title is The Coming of the Archangel Jibril. At the beginning, sister, we will learn a story which is a very famous story regarding the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, as we learned over the previous two classes, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Lady Khadija and they lived a joyful life. And at that time, he was 25 years old. For 5 years, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a calm and quiet life as a merchant in Mecca. Let us now know about this famous story which clarified his wisdom. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old, Quraysh decided to rebuild the Kaaba. They want to rebuild the Kaaba. It was a difficult decision for them because they had to knock it down before rebuilding it. But the old wise men decided to begin, then everybody followed them. They worked, they knocked down the Kaaba until they reached down the first foundation that Prophet Ibrahim had built. Yes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Each tribe brought stones and they built the Kaaba up until they reached the place where the black stone was to be set. Actually, the black stone is a very special stone and they believed that it is a blessed one. Okay, so every tribe was looking for the honor to be the one to put the black stone back in its place. So they began to argue about who should have the honor of carrying the black stone and lifting it to its place in one corner of the Kaaba. They almost came to fight, but one of them offered a solution. He suggested that they should be guided by the first person to enter the Kaaba. They all agreed, and as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first one to enter, so they were all pleased because they all trusted him. The first one to enter the Kaaba, so he would be the first one to find the solution for this problem. They told him the cause of the argument, so Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his wisdom, he asked them to bring a large cloak. Okay? So they did, and after spreading the cloak on the ground, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, placed the black stone in the center of it, a cloak like this, and he put the stone in the middle of the cloak. Then he asked a man from each tribe to hold one edge of that cloak, and together to raise it to the height where the stone should be placed. When this was done, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took the stone off the cloak and put it into its place by himself. So it was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wisdom that saved the Quraysh tribe from the fight and brought peace back. Now, inshallah, we will learn about the beginning of the revelation of the Holy Quran. As most of the people in Mecca, they were idol worshippers. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preferred to leave the city. As he refused the religion of its people, he would often go to stay alone days in a cave in the mountain Hira, a mountain which is outside Mecca. It was when he was 40 years old, he left Mecca to the cave in the second half of the month of Ramadan. The archangel Jibril came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave and commanded him with the word read. So as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was illiterate, he replied, I can't read. He is an illiterate. At this, the archangel Jibril took Muhammad in his arms and pressed him until it was too much to bear. Angel Jibril then released him and said again to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read. I can't read, replied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At which the archangel embraced Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. For the third time, the archangel commanded Muhammad to read, but still he said he couldn't and was again embraced. On releasing him this time, the archangel said, at that moment, the archangel Jibril said, read in the name of the Lord who creates. Actually, the angel Jibril read the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq. We will read them today so that we will learn the first five verses of the Holy Quran which were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of the mountain Hira. It is number 96. Surah number 96. And Angel Jibril, he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will say it in English, sister, because this is a continuation of the story. Recite in the name of your Lord who created man from a clinging substance, clinging substance. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught man that which he knew not. These are the five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, Surah number 96. These are the first five verses of the Holy Quran which were revealed to the mankind. We will stop here, sister, to know the meaning of these five verses of the Holy Quran so that we will be aware about what we must know about the five verses of the Holy Quran, the first five verses of the Holy Quran which were referred to Prophet Muhammad. This is the first surah of the Quran which starts by the name of Allah. Because he said to him, recite in the name of your Lord. Okay? Then it speaks in particular of the creation of man and his origin. The dried drop of blood which sticks. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Which sticks in the womb. Then the surah mentions the fact of the teaching of man by the Creator. Allah clarifies the value of the pen. Allah then clarified that He taught man the knowledge of the past, present, and the future. It is the mercy of Allah to allow for man to know the knowledge which facilitates his life on the earth. So these are the first five verses of the Quran. They started by the name of the Lord Allah, clarifying the origin, our origin, which is a clinging substance. And Allah is clarifying that He is the one who taught man what he knew not, and He taught him by the pen. So actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he repeated these verses. Just as the angel Jibril did, angel Jibril had said them. When the archangel Jibril was sure that Muhammad knew them by heart, he went away. So this was the way how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was learning the Quran from archangel Jibril. Archangel Jibril will keep on repeating the verses until he will be sure that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew them by heart, then he will go away. Now that Muhammad was alone, so he realized that he couldn't understand what had happened to him. Actually, it was a very big psychological shock to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was alone in the cave in the mountain at night, that he will face Archangel Jibril suddenly, and he will start to tell him read, or to question him, or to command him to recite or to read, in spite of the fact that Archangel Jibril, he knows that Prophet Muhammad is illiterate. But this is how the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, a proof that it is from Allah. It is divine message. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate. He cannot write and he cannot read. So he cannot be the one who writes these words. He cannot be the one who imagines these words, because he was an illiterate. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very afraid, and he rushed out of the cave. He was stopped while leaving the cave. He was stopped by a voice from the heaven which he said, "O Muhammad, you are the messenger of Allah and I am Jibril." So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked up at the sky, and whenever he turned his head, he saw the archangel Jibril. You are sleeping. Okay, focus. In a state of confusion, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned home to Khadija, who became very worried as Muhammad began to shiver as though he in a fever. He was so worried, he was so afraid, he was shivering. He asked her to wrap him in a blanket, which she did. After a while, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recovered gradually and told his wife Khadija what had happened to him at the mountain Hira. Khadija, the sincere wife, believed all that he told her, and with great respect said, "Be happy, be confident, truly I swear by Allah that you will be our people's prophet." Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was eased by her faith in him. But after what had happened to him, he was exhausted and he felt asleep. Khadija, the sincere wife, left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeping and went to see her cousin. Again, Khadija, the sincere, left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeping and went to see her cousin, his name is Waraqa ibn Nawfal, to ask him about his opinion regarding what happened to Muhammad with Archangel Jibril. Waraqa was a very wise man who had read many books and had become Christian after studying the Bible. Waraqa told Khadija that Muhammad has been chosen by Allah to be his messenger. Waraqa told her that as Archangel Jibril came to Prophet Moses before and ordered him to guide his people, so too would Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be the prophet of his people. But Waraqa warned that all the people would not listen to the prophet, and some would mistreat his followers. He advised her to inform Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient because he had a great message to all the people. Finally, Waraqa said, "I hope I will be alive when Muhammad will announce his message, and I will become one of his followers," but Waraqa died soon. So in conclusion, sisters, from that day on, Archangel Jibril came often to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the verses he taught Muhammad, that is to say the message from Allah to man, were later written down and are known as the Holy Quran, the last divine message to mankind from Allah. So this is how the revelation of the Quran started on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave in the mountain Hira by the Archangel Jibril. So now, sister, we must stop here and try to evaluate the suffering of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding that very special event which Allah had chosen him specially for that event. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alone at night in a cave in a mountain outside Mecca. He was not expecting anything to happen except that he is trying to know the truth, to think it about, to reflect. But suddenly he started to see Archangel Jibril, and he was pressing him and commanding him to recite or to read. He is a man who was illiterate. How he can read? Again he commanded him. Again he pressed him. Then he embraced him. It was a very big shock, all what is happening for him alone, something he never expected, something he doesn't understand. What is the meaning of what is going on? And then at the end, Archangel Jibril, he recited the 6 verses of Surah number 96, Surah Al-Alaq, and he was repeating them with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he knew them by heart, and then he left him. And at any moment, Prophet Muhammad was looking to the sky, Angel Jibril was there. So this is a very big psychological shock for any human being. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was exposed to for the first revelation of the Holy Quran. So every Muslimah must remember that event. Every Muslimah must be appreciating that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was exposed to that great event, to that great shock, okay, for the sake of sending the message to us. This is the first revelation of the Quran to the mankind. We will continue now to know about what happens. Actually, that day was one day in the month of the Ramadan, and then the revelation came again and again to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He now understood what he had to do and prepared himself for what was to come. Now he knows that he is a prophet and the people will be all against him, and he will suffer a lot for the sake of that message. Actually, only a sincere, strong and brave man helped by Allah can be a true prophet, because people always refuse to listen to Allah's messengers, as it happened with Prophet Nuh, Prophet Hud, Prophet Saleh and Prophet Moses. Regarding the message of Islam, Khadija was the first believer after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She believed the Prophet and accepted him as a messenger from Allah. Through Khadija, Allah made things more easy for him, as she stood up to the people against him, and also she supported him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with her wealth. And because of that, Allah promised Sayyida Khadija with a very special home in the paradise. The revelation ceased for a time, around 3 months, during which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset. However, the archangel Jibril came back to him and brought this surah number 39 from the Quran. We will recite now that surah, Surah Al-Duha, and we will learn its meaning, and we will learn why Allah sent it to him after the revelation ceased for some time.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَّكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. By the morning brightness and by the night when it covers with darkness, your Lord has not taken leave of you, O Muhammad, nor has he detested you. And the hereafter is better for you than the first life. And your Lord is going to give you, and you will be satisfied. Did he not find you an orphan and give you refuge? And he found you lost and guided you. And he found you poor and made you self-sufficient. So as for the orphan, do not oppress him. And as for the petitioner, do not repel him. But as for the favor of your Lord, report it.
Okay, here they come. Actually, sister, revelation, that is to say, Archangel Jibril visits where the link between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah the Almighty. So when the revelation was withheld, the source of strength to the Prophet was cut off. Alone he was left without the companionship of Allah. It was very difficult time for the Prophet, who was unaware of the reason for the revelation to be withheld. So this surah or this chapter was revealed to assure the Prophet that Allah never leaves him alone. What is the meaning of the verses, these verses of the Quran? Verse 1 and 2, by the morning brightness and by the night when it covers with darkness. Allah the Almighty vows by these two calm and inspiring periods, the morning brightness and the night when it covered with darkness. And why these two times especially? Because during which the spirit is best able to communicate with Allah. Okay? At the time of Ad-Duha, Ad-Duha actually, or the morning brightness, is between 9 o'clock and 11:30. It is when the sun is in the middle of the sky. Okay, this is the time of Ad-Duha. And the night is, you know, when the moon is in the sky, it is the calm time of the night. So this is number one, Allah vows by these two calm, inspiring periods, so that the spirit can communicate with him in the best way. In verse number 3, Allah is assuring Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Lord has not taken leave of you, O Muhammad, nor has he detested you. Okay? Allah is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your Lord has not left you alone, nor has he been harsh to you, for he is your Lord and you belong to him. He is your sustainer and protector. Allah favors you. If Allah's favors on you have neither been stopped or run out. You, Muhammad, are to get much better favors in the hereafter than you are getting in this life. So Allah is supporting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was having a lot of hardship in this worldly life regarding spreading the message of Islam. In verse number 5, Allah is again sending a message of support to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is telling him, your Lord is going to give you and you will be satisfied. Okay? Allah is informing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is saving for him what will satisfy him in his mission and make it easy and make every hardship easy for him, and Allah will bring for him the success. These thoughts were in fact preoccupying the Prophet's mind as he was encountering his people's rejection and ill treatment. At that time, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we will learn inshaAllah from next class, that he was treated, he and those who follow him, in a very bad, harsh, difficult way, which many people can tolerate. Some of them died because of the punishment which they were facing. So Allah, in this verse of the Quran, before facing all that harsh treatment, Allah is assuring Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will be satisfied. Then Allah the Almighty started to remind Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his previous favors to him, so that he will be sure that the one who favored you with all that which is mentioned, for example, you were an orphan and he gave you refuge, and you were lost and Allah guided you, he founded you poor and he made you self-sufficient. So if you are the one who received all these favors, so be sure that Allah will take care of you, he will never leave you alone, and you will be satisfied. But Allah is again reminding you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever is reciting the Quran, if you are looking for the satisfaction from Allah, if you are looking for the favors of Allah, so as for the orphan, don't oppress him. And as for the petitioners, do not rebel him, but as for the favor of your Lord, report it. All the time, feel and remember the favors of Allah and mention them. So you will be from those whom they are always thankful to Allah. They always remember the blessings of Allah. Because when the spirit remembers the blessing of Allah, that spirit will be ready to help and to support. Because I am appreciating what Allah is giving me, and I am ready to help everyone out of my appreciation to Allah's favors. So this is surah which is called the Surah Ad-Duha, the morning brightness, which was sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was after the revelation was ceased for a time. And Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. After the revelation was again back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to speak secretly to those who were close to him and whom he could trust. He can't mention about the Holy Quran to everyone, just for those whom he trusts and in secret. Okay, so Ali, the son of his uncle Abu Talib, that is to say Ali, his cousin, was the first young man to follow Islam after Lady Khadija. So number one was Khadija and number two was Ali. Shortly after, they were joined by Zayd ibn Haritha, a slave who was freed and adopted by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is another fact that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he adopted a slave before he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that adoption is not accepted in Islam. An honest, wise and respected merchant of Mecca called Abu Bakr, who knew Muhammad well and believed that he never said a lie, he was invited to accept Islam. He became a believer in the same second with no doubt or hesitation. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is named in Islam Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Al-Siddiq is the one who believed in a second. You know, he doesn't have any doubt. As soon as he mentioned to him, I have a message, I am a prophet, he believed in him. So he has the title in Arabic as Siddiq, the one who believes immediately. No doubt, no hesitation. And actually, because of Abu Bakr's wisdom, honesty, and kindness, people had always turned to him for advice. Therefore, through Abu Bakr, many people, radiallahu anhu, many people came to Islam. One of them was Bilal, the slave who became the one to say Al-Adhan for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The number of people following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to grow. Sometimes they would all go out of the city to the mountains around Mecca to hear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Quran and to be taught by him. This was all done in secret, and only a very few people knew about Islam in those early days. So again, if we stop here, sister, we must know about those early Muslims. Those early Muslims, they knew about Islam in secret. They don't have the freedom to recite the Quran loudly or to say that I am a Muslim. They always go out of the city to the mountains in order to hear Prophet Muhammad reciting the Quran and to be taught by him. So this is how they suffered. And actually, this is how they were true believers. If you believe in a message, okay, you will do everything to learn that message. And you will be dedicated to follow that message. And you will try your best to know about that message. So, if we try to compare ourselves nowadays with those early Muslims, actually, we must feel very sad. And we must feel shy. And we must feel shame. Because nowadays the Quran is in every place. You can learn the Quran and the meaning of the Holy Quran and the message of the Holy Quran and the biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can learn everything from the computer. You can learn it from the television. You can learn it from the classes in the masjid. And they are all free. And you will be rewarded by Allah the Almighty, and you will be blessed, and everyone will say, this is a very religious sister. Okay, everyone will supposed to respect you in the Muslim community, but still, 95%, okay, on my responsibility, from the depths of their hearts, they are not interested to learn. They are not dedicated to learn. They don't want to sacrifice 1 hour for the sake of Allah. But if you said to them, to this 95%, there is a morning coffee where the best food and the best chocolate and the best place in the Four Seasons, you are invited for free, okay, all the Muslims of Houston will be there. And then we will call on Allah, oh Allah, why you have a miserable life? Oh Allah, why your mercy is not touching us? Oh Allah, why our life is upside down? Okay, every one of us must reflect regarding how and where is Allah regarding our priorities, and must compare your heart with the heart of those whom they go to the mountains outside the city secretly, exposing themselves to the severe punishment for the sake of learning one verse of the Quran. Inshallah, we'll stop here, and inshallah, we'll have the dua and continue next week. The story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is affecting me, you know, sister, in a very effective way. Because all my classes over the last 11 to 12 years were related to the Quran. The message of the Quran, the meaning of the Quran, how to live the Quran in your daily life. The ahadith, the things of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were there all the time. But I never focused on him as a human being and those early Muslims. But now when I am focusing on them, I start to feel that, you know, we have a lot to do. And we need to purify our hearts more and more and more. So that inshallah there will be a big place for the Islam, for the Quran, for the sincerity, for that, you know, for the dedication like those previous Muslims. Inshallah, may Allah guide every one of us, inshallah, and make us to believe that this is the right path. This is the best thing to do it in this worldly life, which is very short, okay, and which is a deceiving enjoyment, is that Allah will guide you to have this knowledge, and let us make the dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.